Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Jewish Life in Medieval Spain, A New History, by Jonathan Ray. Narrated by Josh Bloomberg. Introduction. Perhaps no chapter in the history of the Jewish people has fired the imagination as much as that of the Jews in medieval Spain. From the 9th to 15th centuries, Jewish artisans, merchants, physicians, and scholars lived throughout the Iberian Peninsula, flourishing under both Muslim and Christian rule. They established a wide array of communities, both large and small, that were among the most culturally vibrant and intellectually prolific in the medieval world. The very name of Jewish Spain, Sepharad, conjures up romantic notions of a golden age of Jewish life, a world of poets and philosophers, spice merchants and rabbis. The eventual downfall of this fabled society is also bound up with some of the most dramatic and infamous events in Jewish history, such as the rise of the Spanish Inquisition and the final expulsion of the Jews from Spain in 1492. But the cultural triumphs of the Jews of Spain and the collective tragedies that put an end to their world can only be appreciated properly in their social historical context and as part of the lived experience of the Jews themselves. Daily life in medieval Spain could in fact vary significantly for different sectors of Jewish society. This book tells the story of that society, attempting to recover some of these differences and thereby to enrich our understanding of the Jews of medieval Spain. Jewish History in the Shadow of Convivencia. The prevailing outline of Jewish history in medieval Spain was established more than 50 years ago by two European-born Israeli historians, Eliyahu Ashtor and Yitzhak Ber. Drawing on nearly a century of pioneering scholarship, Ashtor and Ber each wrote monumental, multi-volume histories of the Jews in Spain. The earlier Muslim period was covered by Ashtor, and the later Christian period by Ber. Ashtor provides Jewish life in Muslim Spain as distinguished by intellectual achievement and interfaith harmony, while Ber's study of Jewish life under Christian rule emphasized growing Christian animosity and Jewish social and religious decline. These contrasting portraits of medieval Sephardic history continue to exert a strong influence on scholarly and popular audiences alike. The very division of the Middle Ages in Spain into these two periods remains fundamental to our understanding of Sephardic history and culture. It has been common to focus on religious tolerance as the determining factor in the development of Jewish civilization. Historians like to evaluate and track Jewish relations with their host cultures. When and why did interfaith relations flourish, deteriorate, collapse? In the case of medieval Spain, where Muslims, Christians, and Jews lived in close proximity, a notion of benign coexistence, or convivencia, has radically shaped our reading of its history. But while discussions of convivencia succeed in recognizing the unique interaction of Spain's various religious communities, they often miss the ways those relationships resonated within the communities themselves. More important, the history of the Jews of Spain has come to be defined by moments of interfaith encounter rather than by the evolving structures of Jewish society itself. To remedy this, my focus here will be on the internal dynamics of Jewish communities. Interreligious coexistence, though widely regarded as a laudable hallmark of a tolerant society, also presented problems to minority communities. For medieval Jews, the prospect of cultural assimilation often posed a greater threat than that of exclusion. After all, in a world where communities were defined first and foremost by religious identity, minorities expected a certain amount of exclusion, even as they hoped for peaceful relations with their societies. This was especially true for Jews, who, theologically speaking, understood themselves to be in divinely imposed exile among the nations of the earth. but preserving a distinct religious heritage in a relatively open marketplace of ideas, languages, and cultures was a perennial concern to Jewish spiritual leaders and Jewish communal officials alike, who viewed the accessibility of non-Jewish culture as a serious challenge to the religious piety, social cohesion, and political autonomy of their communities. This anxiety over Jewish fraternization with non-Jews became a hallmark of Jewish life in Muslim Spain, or Al-Andalus. To be sure, the Jews' integration into the surrounding culture was strikingly fruitful, inspiring and contributing to a brilliant Jewish intellectual renaissance during the High Middle Ages. Indeed, Jewish literary production in Al-Andalus is among the reasons this era is regarded as a Jewish golden age. But a recurring theme in this literature is the deep ambivalence many of these same Jews felt regarding their anticipation in Arabic culture and their adoption of many of its norms. The allure of non-Jewish society continued to pose an existential threat to Spanish Jews as the region shifted from Muslim to Christian rule over the course of the 12th and 13th centuries. Ever a minority, Jews who sought to attain wealth, power, and intellectual recognition continued to adopt key elements of their host culture. This often meant acquiring proficiency in Arabic or Latin, languages that also had clear associations to Islamic or Christian scripture. It also required forging social and political ties with Muslim and Christian rulers, and regularly engaging in social situations that were shaped by non-Jewish ideas and demands. Thus, for the Jewish minority, the promise of coexistence always carried with it an implicit threat to Jews' religious commitments and cultural heritage, or worse, the total abandonment of Judaism through conversion. This was a dilemma that Spain's majority religious communities simply did not face. It is really only by viewing the phenomenon of convivencia from the point of view of both majority and minority groups that the disparate costs of coexistence begin to emerge. This book offers a portrait of Jewish history in medieval Spain that emphasizes the internal dynamics of Jewish society over Muslim-Jewish or Christian-Jewish relations. This approach allows for a closer consideration of the challenges and opportunities faced by different sectors of Jewish society, and illustrates how success for some Jews often came at the expense of others. I will, of course, address the nature and development of the Jews' relationship to their Muslim and Christian neighbors, but at the heart of this history lies the assumption that the more significant relationships were with members of their own religious community. Jewish communities in medieval Spain were small, with even the largest Jewish centers containing no more than a few hundred families. Nevertheless, they were closely knit, and however much Jews were integrated into the broader society, and however important their relations to Muslims and Christians may have been, Jewish life in Spain took place primarily among other Jews. In Spain, as in the rest of the medieval world, religious affiliation determined one's status and general movement within the larger society. However, it would be misleading to imagine that attitudes toward members of other religious groups were solely determined by theology, unaffected by other human emotions. Medieval people, much like their modern counterparts, could be motivated by self-interest, were subject to petty jealousies and fears, and were guided by a deep sense of love, friendship, and faith. The larger societies in which they lived often classified the Jews as an undifferentiated group, but this tendency, often found in Christian legal and religious texts, also obscures the textured reality of Jewish life. The central characteristics and concerns of Jewish society mirrored those of their Christian or Muslim neighbors. While medieval Jews did not generally engage in warfare, Jewish society was every bit as volatile and contentious as its Christian and Muslim counterparts. Great families vied with one another for power and prestige, while those occupying the lower orders of society complained bitterly of political disenfranchisement. Jews formed their own networks and rivalries, and battled with one another over communal power, individual freedom, and religious reform, These were defining characteristics of Jewish life under both Muslim and Christian rule, suggesting greater internal continuity in Jewish history than is often recognized. Even the Jews' general relationship to the dominant society changed very little in their transition from Muslim to Christian rule. Jewish religious authorities were generally wary of political interference from the state. However, some Jews were quite willing to involve the outside authorities, and their community's subsequent dependence on royal or ecclesiastical power suggests a much more complex portrait of religious coexistence. Jews were every bit as interested in using personal wealth and power to articulate prestige and social difference within their own community as were their Muslim and Christian counterparts. Prominent Jews developed strong bonds with Christian and Muslim officials to gain personal advantages and to promote their authority within their own Jewish communities. They obtained royal exemptions from communal taxes and hired powerful non-Jews to intimidate judges, debtors, and political or economic rivals within. They also sought to imitate the style and subsequently the social status of the Christian nobility, and thus further distinguished themselves from poorer and less prominent Jews. Such behavior elicited harsh criticism from a variety of camps. Many Muslims and Christians objected to Jewish social mobility, especially to their adoption of positions of honor and authority they thought should be prohibited to minorities. Jewish moralists also criticized these pretensions, arguing that they not only were impious, but also prompted Muslim and Christian retribution on the whole Jewish community. Thus, links to Christian or Muslim authorities forged by some Jews could simultaneously disadvantage others. Moreover, these interfaith relations often served to undermine Jewish communal independence. When well-connected Jews successfully associated themselves with Christian and Muslim power, they forced their own communal governments to do the same. The result was a long-standing Jewish dependence on non-Jewish political institutions. Approaching the Jewish experience from the point of view of the Jews reveals a society that was far more complex and far more interesting than has been generally portrayed. It was, in fact, a multifaceted society as varied as any in the medieval world. Focusing on Jewish attitudes and actions, rather than on perceptions of the Jews held by others, also helps us to better understand the function of interfaith relations in medieval Spain, providing greater insight into the concept of convivencia and deepening our appreciation of both Jewish and Spanish history. Jewish life in Spain, an overview. The Jews were expelled from Spain in 1492, a year that marks a clear end to their illustrious history. The beginning of that history is far cloudier. The roots of Jewish society in Spain stretch back to Roman Hispania, where Jews embraced elements of Roman culture while maintaining a distinct religious identity. As the Roman Empire embraced Christianity, early church councils sought to limit social and religious interaction between Christians and Jews, and to strengthen the boundaries between the two communities. The legislation enacted at the Council of Elvira in the early 4th century suggests that Christians were still quite close to their Jewish neighbors, even intermarrying with them, and asking Jewish religious leaders to bless their crops. The problem of maintaining clear communal boundaries in a religiously and ethnically cosmopolitan society was one that would persist in various forms throughout the Middle Ages. With the fall of Rome, the Iberian Peninsula came under the control of the Visigoths, a Germanic people whose language, culture, and Arian Christianity distinguished them from their Catholic subjects, who remained the majority of the population. While information from the period of Visigothic rule is scarce, there is evidence that Jews remained relatively well integrated into the surrounding society, until King Recared I abandoned Arianism for Catholicism in the year 589. Perhaps hoping to win support from their Catholic subjects and local church leaders, a series of Visigothic kings attempted to forcibly baptize the Jews in their realm. For more than a century, it seems, the kings and leading bishops of Visigothic Spain were preoccupied with converting the Jews and forcing them to accept Catholicism. The repeated introduction of legislation on this issue points to the failure of the enterprise, suggesting that these converts and their offspring continued to practice forms of Judaism, much to the displeasure of the Visigothic Church. We have no information to corroborate these claims of heresy among the converted Jews, or to give us any detail as to what this crypto-Jewish society might have looked like. And if Jewish communities managed to survive what appears to have been generations of persecution, they left no information as to their internal composition, their religious and intellectual life, or their ties to the wider Jewish world. Jewish life in Spain in the several centuries after the Muslim conquest of the region in 711 is similarly obscure. It is only in the 10th century, when a vibrant society coalesced around several remarkable figures, that a full exploration of Jewish life in Spain can begin. The Jews' status as a protected minority determined their place within Andalusi society, but it was the complex relationships Jews maintained among themselves that gave shape to their daily lives. Those Jews with contacts to Muslim authorities, long-distance trade networks, or other forms of wealth, power, and prestige lived very different lives from those Jews who did not. Thus, although the remarkable and innovative intellectual culture produced by Jewish elites is an important emblem of the age, it offers a limited view of the social history of the Jew in Al-Andalus. Indeed, much of the pride in their cultural heritage and achievements helped to distance these elites from the rest of Jewish society, both in Al-Andalus and throughout the medieval Jewish world. The dynamic tension that bound separate factions of the Jewish community to one another became a defining characteristic of their society, and one that continued to shape the course of Sephardic history throughout the Middle Ages. The proud and combative society of Sephardic Jews that developed during the 10th century collapsed by the late 12th century. As the Almoravid and Almohad dynasties came to power in Al-Andalus, they instituted anti-Jewish measures that culminated in forced conversions and a mass exodus of the region's Jewish population. Many of the refugees who fled during this time came to settle in the lands of Christian Iberia and Provence, joining local Jews who had inhabited these lands for centuries. The period from the late 12th through the early 14th century was thus one of cultural encounter between the Jewish subcultures of Muslim and Christian Spain. As these two Jewish subcultures attempted to blend into one, their leaders engaged in a series of bitter debates around the proper role of philosophy and mysticism in Judaism. These religious controversies roiled Jewish society for more than a century, threatening to tear it apart. In the end, a tenuous compromise was achieved through the intervention of a small group of leading religious authorities. Nonetheless, this protracted culture clash between the established Jewish communities of Christian Iberia and the Arabized Jewish immigrants from Al-Andalus suggests that the traditional division of medieval Sephardic history into an earlier, more cosmopolitan Muslim period and a later, less productive Christian period is too simplistic. It also highlights the need to pay close attention to developments within Jewish society and not just the Jews' relationship with their Muslim and Christian neighbors. That said, interfaith relations could and did have an important impact on the course of Jewish history in the region. Just as Spanish Jews bridged the internal divisions within their society, they also confronted new dangers from without. The second half of the 13th century saw a marked increase in Christian anti-Judaism in Spain, and these new religious tensions began to erode Jewish social and political status. Christian attitudes toward the Jews blended older religious teachings of mistrust and new social and economic antagonisms. The complex relationship among the Jews, the church, and the crown also increased the Jews' reliance on royal protection, a relationship that would be repeatedly tested over the course of the late Middle Ages. The 14th century in particular was a period of turmoil. Developments in lending and debt collection simultaneously exacerbated the problem of Christian indebtedness to Jews and competition between Jewish and Christian lenders. For Christians, Jewish involvement in lending and tax collecting were key aspects of their identity. Not only were these arguably the most important roles that Jews played in Christian society, they also supported Christian theological notions of the Jews and Judaism. Yet these were not the most common or most important jobs for the Jews themselves. Medieval Jewish society in Spain is more accurately characterized as one of artisans, not bankers, with many perennially living on the edge of poverty. Even as Christian attitudes hardened against them, Jews still managed to build a rich cultural and spiritual life. One of the hallmarks of Sephardic society during the 14th century was a significant increase in Hebrew literacy among a wider swath of the Jewish community, and with it, a greater interest in pastoral care on the part of Jewish scholars. More Jews began to study religious texts, and Jewish preachers helped narrow the gap between intellectual elites and the rest of the Jewish community. These key developments provide an invaluable framework for understanding the more tragic events of the 14th century. Indeed, the history of Christian violence against the Jews that took place during this century calls out for attention and explanation. Traditionally, the anti-Jewish episodes of the period have been seen as leading inexorably to the Great Riots of 1391 and to the subsequent unraveling of Jewish society that culminated in the expulsion of 1492. I suggest that we reconsider this narrative of a long and inevitable decline by locating these episodes of anti-Jewish violence in their proper historical contexts. Rather than see anti-Jewish riots, such as those associated with the Black Death, to be evidence of increasing Christian hostility, I understand them as a reflection of the general precariousness of Jewish life, and the way in which Jewish fortunes were bound up with their position as protected subjects of the crown. Moreover, attentive consideration of Jewish voices from this era suggests that such interreligious strife was not their primary concern. To be sure, Jews recognized and denounced the various religious, economic, and political factors leading to Christian hostility toward them. Nonetheless, it was the same set of pressures that led to Christian unrest, namely the destruction wrought by war, plague, and increased taxes, that most alarmed the Jews during the tumultuous 14th century. In the summer of 1391, however, anti-Jewish riots swept over the peninsula and radically altered the course of Jewish history in Spain. Mobs of Christians fell upon one Jewish community after another, leaving a trail of death and destruction in their wake. But it was the creation of an entire subculture of Jewish converts, conversos, that had the most lasting impact on Spain's Jewish and Christian communities. For some 25 years following the riots, Castilian and Aragonese Jews were subjected to an intense missionizing campaign, as Christian secular and religious leaders sought to convert the region's remaining Jewish population. Jews were forced to attend sermons by firebrand preachers, and their leading rabbis were harangued for almost 2 years at a mandatory public debate known as the Disputation of Tortosa. Many were unable to withstand the pressure of this ongoing campaign and followed their friends and neighbors in accepting baptism. The missionary fervor of these years ultimately fell short of its goal, and following 1415, the movement lost both its royal and popular support. The next decade saw the recovery and reorganization of the surviving Jewish communities. A return to traditional policies of royal protection brought a measure of stability to Jewish life, but the religious landscape of Spain had fundamentally changed. As the Jewish population dwindled, so did their economic contributions, and thus utility to Spanish society. Perhaps more significant, they became permanently associated with the conversos, often called New Christians, who, in the minds of many so-called Old Christians, were guilty of bringing Jewish ideas and practices into Christian society. By the time King Ferdinand and Queen Isabella came to power in the 1470s, the fate of the Jews had become inextricably bound up with the converso problem. the expulsion of the Jews was announced as a means to save new Christians from Jewish influence. By August 1492, the long, rich, and complicated history of the Jews in medieval Spain had come to an end. The present volume revisits this history with fresh insights, bringing together a wide array of sources that document Jewish life in medieval Spain. Still, there are limits to these sources and what they can tell us. We have far less information about Jewish life under Muslim rule than we do under Christian rule, and less about certain towns and regions of Christian Spain than others. Such is the case for the regions of Galicia and Navarre, in the north of the Iberian Peninsula, whose Jewish communities make an appearance toward the end of our story. Likewise, the Jews of Portugal remain peripheral to this study, for other reasons. While there were important connections between Portuguese and Castilian Jews during the later Middle Ages, the history of the Jews of Portugal forms enough of a distinct subject that it has generally been excluded here. Similarly, the history of the Conversos is a fascinating subject all its own, and one that is far too large to treat here in any detailed way. It is addressed here only to the extent that it influenced the lives of professing Jews. Finally, there are sectors of the Jewish community, such as Jewish women and the poor, for which the extant sources tell us less than we would like. Notwithstanding these limitations, the following study seeks to present Jewish society in all its complexity. Whenever possible, I have attempted to highlight the distinct experiences and perspectives of various Jewish groups, and to acknowledge the diversity of medieval Jewish life. Situating the daily lives of Sephardic Jews within the broader context of medieval Spain, I hope to offer new vistas on this perennially fascinating period in both Jewish and Spanish history. Chapter 1. At the Edge of the West. Jewish Life in Al-Andalus. Perhaps the best introduction to the Jewish experience in Spain can be found in the enduring words of one of its greatest sons, Judah Halevi, 1075 through 1141. In what are among the most famous lines in all Jewish literature, Halevi offers up a concise and moving summary of Jewish life in medieval Spain. "My heart is in the East, and I am at the edge of the West. How can I possibly taste what I eat? How could it please me? How can I keep my promise, or ever fulfill my vow, when Zion is held by Edom, and I am bound by Arabia's chains? I'd gladly leave behind me all the pleasures of Spain, if only I might see the dust and ruins of your shrine." Here the poet looks at the political geography of his day and sees a metaphor for a deeper personal sense of spiritual alienation. Christians, Edom, control his ancestral homeland, Zion, while Muslims, Arabia, rule his native Spain. This situation has not prevented him from living a life of material success, but his wealth and the undeniable pleasures available to him in Spain only serve to intensify his longing for what Spain cannot provide, a fully realized religious life and the divinely promised redemption. Halevi's short poem touches on many of the characteristics that have come to define how we think about the history of Jews in the Middle Ages in general, and in medieval Spain in particular. The day-to-day tension between earthly pleasures and religious obligation. The pain of living in exile amid triumphant Christian and Muslim civilizations, and a persistent sense of religious longing and social marginalization, all of which are rendered more poignant by Halevi's own biography. Born in the late 11th century, Halevi lived his life in Iberia's Christian and Muslim cities, becoming the very model of a medieval Jewish Renaissance man. He was a successful merchant and respected physician, a rabbinic scholar and ardent defender of Judaism, and one of the most highly regarded poets in Jewish history. Yet, as celebrated as he is, and indeed was even in his own time, for these considerable achievements, What made him a truly heroic figure to centuries of Jews was his decision to turn away from the world of privilege. Near the end of his life, Halevi set out for Jerusalem, traveling from the edge of the Jewish world toward its heart, in the hope.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?